WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Gee, but it's great after being out late, walking my baby back home. Arm in arm over meadow and farm, walking my baby back home. We go along harmonizing a song, or I'm reciting a poem. Owls go by and they give me the eye, walking my baby back home. We stop for a while.
My guest Jeremy Northam plays Dean Martin in the CBS movie Martin and Lewis, which will be shown Sunday night. The movie is about the showbiz partnership of Martin and Jerry Lewis, with Lewis played by Sean Hayes of Will and Grace. Dean Martin's actual recordings are used in the film, Northam lip syncs, but he did his own singing in Gosford Park, in which he played a character based on the singer and songwriter Ivor Novello. Here's Northam and Hayes in a scene from the new TV movie, shortly after Martin and Lewis meet. They're sharing the bill at a nightclub. After the show, Jerry Lewis has been goofing around with a table of customers. Then Martin takes him aside.
What the hell is wrong with you? I think I know who that is.
Some real nice fella, I hope.
Nice fella? That's Lucky Luciano. That's who that is. Murder Incorporated. I know who you're talking to in these clubs.
So what do I do?
You pray. I'll talk to him. If you're still alive by the midnight show, it might mean he forgives you.
Jeremy Northam is a surprising choice for portraying Dean Martin. Northam is British, and he's best known for more formal period roles in such films as The Winslow Boy, The Ideal Husband, Possession, and Enigma, characters that are the opposite of Martin's cool. Northam told me that he wasn't very familiar with Martin's work with Lewis, so he caught up by watching their TV show and rare footage of their act at the Sands and the Copa. I asked Northam about the mannerisms and sensibility he picked up on for his portrayal of Dean Martin.
I looked at the physical side of things, thinking, well, how am I going to look like Dean? I don't look like Dean at all in my mind. I don't have the same sort of physical stature. I don't have the same physical history as he has. But I became obsessed with his hands, for instance. He had these enormous hands, and the knuckles were all broken from when he used to box for cash and never used to bind his hands properly. So his knuckles were all ruined, and he had these rather prominent, I thought, hands that he used in a very idiosyncratic way. So that was the first thing that I really looked at. And then I wanted to find out what tunes they're going to use in the piece. They were rather undecided because they had to get clearance rights, of course. And they arrived rather late. And the reason behind that, I think the producers are rather puzzled by that. I demanded to have the sheet music. They said, well, why do you need that? And I said, because I want to learn the songs and then see what Dean does with them. You get a standard version on the sheet music and then hear how he changes the phrasing, maybe even sometimes the words, where he breathes and how he makes the very beautiful but idiosyncratic sound that he makes when he was singing, and therefore try and find the speaking voice. And so it goes on.
Now, you mentioned you wanted to see the sheet music so you could really understand what Dean Martin was doing with a song. And you wanted to use his singing style, since the music was being dubbed and we actually hear his voice singing. You wanted to use that singing style to help you find your speaking voice when you were playing Dean Martin. Can you talk about finding that voice, what you took away from the singing and how you used that for the speaking?
Well, he had quite a deep voice, but a very light vibrato at the top end of the voice. And the vowels are placed in a very particular way in the mouth, very different from mine. So I mean, had I been doing the singing as well, I don't think I would have gone as far as I did with the speaking voice. But because we had Dean's singing voice, I really had to go further than perhaps I would otherwise have done with a speaking voice. So,
because you had to get your speaking voice to match his singing.
as much as I could. And, you know, it's a fairly impossible task because I think only Dean Martin could make the sound that Dean Martin made. But I suppose it was just trial and error, really. And I always felt on set that I was going massively over the top, that it was way too much. And I don't know, I don't know whether it is or whether it isn't, but it was interesting to try.
I'm thinking, like, who else has played both Dean Martin and Ivor Novello, the British singer who you played in the movie Gosford Park?
Funny mixture, isn't it? A gay Welsh composer and Italian singer from Steubenville, Ohio.
Yeah, well, just, you know, a lot of people have seen Gosford Park, but not that many Americans really know who Ivor Novello was. So just describe who the character that you played, Ivor Novello, was in British music history.
Well, as far as I can remember, I'm no great expert myself, but Ivor Novello was a bit of a prodigy when he was young. He wrote a famous First World War anthem, best known, I suppose, as Keep the Home Fires Burning. Actually, its real title is When the Boys Come Home. He was the child of a singer, and he became a... an actor, concert performer. He went to Hollywood. He didn't quite make it as an actor in Hollywood, although he performed in a film called The Lodger, which Hitchcock, one of the early Hitchcock movies. But he wrote in Hollywood as well. He wrote screenplays and was something of a script doctor. And he then performed in his own musicals, which were sort of like light operettas rather than American musicals, which he toured for years and years and was enormously popular. When he died in the 50s, his funeral was attended by hundreds of thousands of people, and people say that, to this day, that there were three hugely attended and very influential funerals of the 20th century in Britain. One was Winston Churchill's, one was Princess Diana's, and the other was Ivor Novello's. And he was, you know, he's brought into Gosford Park as a device, really. Film is set in the early 30s when he was about to kick off, really, his musical theatre career. And the songs from that time fitted the period of the film very well.
Well, I want to play And Her Mother Came Too from the soundtrack of Gosford. Oh, yeah, I really like it. This is from the soundtrack of Gosford Park. In the movie, you're at the piano, accompanying yourself. I don't imagine you actually played piano, too, in the film, did you?
If you played one of the other tracks, no, actually, on the CD, it's all my brother playing the piano. And on the film, there's two tracks which I play and sing live, and the rest is my brother pre-recorded and then me singing live over the top. My brother's a professional pianist, and he's actually accompanied a lot of people doing a lot of Novello down in the West Country in England. And so he was the perfect person to ask for. It was the first time we ever worked together as well. It was very nice.
Did Robert Altman, the director of the film, know all this when he hired you?
No. No, there wasn't even a part written when I met him.
Oh. So he cast you before he even knew who you were going to play?
He said, I'm thinking of putting this character in there. This guy. You know anything about Ivor Novello? And I gather that years and years ago, he'd... In fact, the film that was going to be... that turned out to be MASH was actually initially a First World War story, believe it or not. So he'd done a lot of work, research for Ivor Novello for that original movie. And when MASH came along, he said, I could use everything that he'd been working on for this other script in MASH. And Ivor Novello was put on the shelf. And years later, he thought, that could be handy. So he invented this character based on Novello to appear at the country house in Gosford Park.
Okay, well, here's Jeremy Northam from the soundtrack of the film Gosford Park singing the Ivor Novello song And Her Mother Came Too.
I seem to be the victim of a cruel jest. It dogs my footsteps with the girl I love the best. She's just the sweetest thing that I have ever known. But still we never get the chance to be alone. My car will meet her, and her mother comes too. It's a two-seater, still her mother comes too. At Ciro's when I am free, at dinner, supper or tea, she loves to shimmy with me, and her mother does too. We buy her trousseau, and her mother comes too. Asked not to do so, still her mother comes too. She simply can't take a snub. I go and sulk at the club, then have a bath and a rub, and her brother comes too. We lunch at Maxim's, and her mother comes too. How large a snack seems when her mother comes too. And when they're visiting me, we finish afternoon tea. She loves to sit on my knee, and her mother does too. To golf we started, and her mother came too. Three bags I carted when her mother came too. She fainted just off the tee. My darling whispered to me, Jack dear, at last we are free. But her mother came too.
That's Jeremy Northam singing on the soundtrack of the film Gosford Park. Northam plays Dean Martin in the CBS movie Martin and Lewis, which airs Sunday night. We'll talk more with Northam after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is actor Jeremy Northam. He starred in The Winslow Boy, The Ideal Husband, Possession, Enigma, and Gosford Park. He plays Dean Martin in the CBS movie Martin and Lewis, which will be shown Sunday night. One of your early breaks came on the British stage when you were, I guess you were the understudy for Daniel Day-Lewis when he was playing Hamlet, and something happened.
Actually, you know, that wasn't a break.
It wasn't a break?
No, because it didn't, you know, it was a... I know everyone wants to think that it's like 42nd Street, but it really isn't.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You know,
yeah.
He went out an understudy and came back a star. It's really not true. Nobody knew that I was going on. Everyone turned up at the theatre for 30-odd performances expecting to see Daniel Day-Lewis play the part, and unfortunately they found me there. I don't think anyone has ever cast me for another job on the basis of having seen me struggle my way through Hamlet.
Well, it sounds like you think the result was massive disappointment on the part of the audience.
I think it probably was, actually. Yeah, uh-huh. I think I'd be pretty disappointed if I turned up to see Daniel Day-Lewis play Hamlet and got someone you'd never heard of.
Well, what happened? You know, I read articles about it, and the articles all say he had some kind of breakdown in the middle of the performance. I mean, what actually happened?
Well, he left the stage about half an hour into the show, and it was at the National Theatre in London. You know, there's three auditoria there, and there's several shows playing in each one at the same time, and I was playing the lead in a play called The Voysey Inheritance down in the Cottesloe. On certain nights, I was playing Captain Molyneux, which was a lead in the Shacrona, played by a 19th century melodrama by Boucicault in the Olivier. I was playing Osric in Hamlet, understudying Hamlet, and at that time rehearsing Laertes, who was the current Laertes, was actually leaving the production soon, and a new Hamlet was being rehearsed in, Ian Charlson. So I was doing that by day, and I was just trying to get through the week, basically. We hadn't done a staged rehearsal of the play for 5 months. There was no indication that I was going to have to go on. So it came out of left field.
And so Daniel Day left in mid-performance, Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yes, he did.
And you had to go on in mid-performance. You must have been totally unprepared for that.
Yeah, and it was fairly ridiculous, I have to say. You know, it was...
How you've changed, Hamlet.
I didn't want to go on. I don't think any of the cast wanted me to go on. And it was a bit of a one-sided fight between me and the text, and the text came out top. And you could hear the flipping of seats throughout the performance.
You mean people were walking out?
Because it was a long evening anyway, you know. Made even longer.
Did you even remember your lines? I mean, there's so many.
Well, that was the problem. It wasn't so much remembering. It was the fact that there were so many of them, and they were so unfamiliar in my mouth. So there were many slips and fumbles, and it got better on subsequent nights. But it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. It became, after, you know, on subsequent nights, exhilarating and very exciting. At the time, it was just terrifying. Just as terrifying to the rest of the cast. I mean, since then, I've been in the same situation where people have unexpectedly gone on, and you have to carry on performing with somebody who's you've never acted with before, and you'd find yourself doing the classic thing of talking to one person downstage right, and then the answer would come upstage left because you'd forgotten that. That's where the reply came from. And as for knowing which was Rosencrantz and which was Guildenstern, well, forget it.
Now, I know one of the roles you have coming up now is The Singing Detective, which is a new movie based on the Dennis Potter TV series that played in the United States on public television a few years ago. And like Pennies from Heaven, in the TV series anyways, this is a story in which popular songs, older popular songs are used to express the innermost feelings that the characters are having, and they lip sync along to these records in these kind of,
and also the characters sort of place in the cultural scheme of things as well, enough and in a peculiar way,
right? Are sung, are determined.
I didn't have to do any of that lip syncing. I got a very peripheral and interesting but small part in the movie. The lead's played by Robert Downey Jr., who plays the writer. And I play his the nemesis of his imagination, really, a character called Binny, who the story happens on several different levels, if people remember, from the TV series. The writer is locked inside his own body, covered with psoriasis in a hospital ward, and the only thing that's really working is his imagination. And to sort of keep him going, he translates the characters around him in his present life into characters in a kind of pulp fiction in his head. So I'm somebody who he imagines is having an affair with his estranged wife, and who he imagines is stealing his material from under his nose, and he becomes a sort of a low-life double-dealing scum in this kind of 50s film noir in his head. So it's a strange kind of role, really existing in somebody else's imagination, but interesting.
Well, good. Good luck with the movie.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Jeremy Northam plays Dean Martin in the CBS movie Martin and Lewis. It airs Sunday night.